The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
Ready, set, go!
And the truth shall set you free!
Welcome to One Life Radio.
Welcome to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Junior, how are you doing today?
I am good. How are you?
Good, good. Good. Just, you know, get ready to do the show.
Yeah.
And we've got Mo Brosset. He's a regular on the show. Let me introduce him. Mo, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, bring you right out of the gate. you wanted to talk about triggers and how to overcome them on today's show. Mo, what made you want to talk about that? And is there something pressing that made you talk about that? Or do you feel that it's something that's just important to talk about?
It's something that's really important to talk about right now. As one of my good friends said on a podcast last year, and it's true, I feel like, in society right now, he calls it, we're in the victim Olympics. Mm. Everyone, everywhere you look, on social media, on TV, everywhere, everyone is being triggered. Everyone is being targeted. Everyone is being offended. Everyone is being attacked. And it's really not true. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of opinion, and it's a matter of you looking at something and going, oh, wait, I choose to allow this into my space and to affect me negatively. And yeah, that's one of the big reasons why we are where we are in today's society, with everybody, with suicide, with depression, anxiety, because we're allowing these extrinsic things to get into our minds and our space.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that we're talking about it. Let me officially introduce you to people listening that maybe have perhaps not listened before. Mo Brosset has been in the health and fitness industry for over 25 years. He is the creator and director of the Mindset Program at the Adaptive Training Foundation, a Dallas-based nonprofit that leads critically injured military veterans and civilians through a 9-week mental and physical training program called Redefine. Through his unique program, Mo helps these adaptive athletes overcome physical, emotional, and mental pain, fear, and self-doubt. Mo is also a keynote speaker on fear and an expert in human behavior, mindset, and language. He is the founder of Hunt and Prosper, a leadership and self-development company that teaches clients and executive teams to go after what they want with a greater sense of self-awareness and self-confidence. His website is hunt-prosper.com or on Instagram at hunt_prosper. Well, I have to say, after hearing that introduction, I'm so glad we're talking about this. And I do agree with you. I think that people are very oversensitive. Why is that? Why are they so oversensitive?
I feel like that's what the culture is right now. It's popular to be triggered. It's popular to be a victim and to suffer.
Uh-huh.
And look, you and I have referenced the Four Agreements until we're blue in the face.
Yep.
But it's true. Exactly what he says in the book. Like, suffering looks for suffering. We love to suffer. And we love to talk about it with other people. Because when we talk about it, if I come to you and I'm like, Bernadette, you're never going to guess what happened to me today. Can you believe what, I can't believe what Junior said. Listen to this. And I tell you, all I want you to do is go, oh my God, Mo, I'm so sorry. Are you okay?
Yeah.
To validate that. And, you know, because that's what we've been taught. That's what we see on television.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what the news teaches us is suffering. And so we seek it out. And sometimes people not often, but sometimes get mad when I say that, but I'm right. Because if you look at it, that's exactly what we do. Go to any restaurant or hang out with any group of people, and what are they doing? Not predominantly. They're gossiping about things, about other people, about life situations, and about how tough it is.
Mm-hmm.
Rarely do we talk about good things. Rarely do we talk about opportunity, progression, creation, or things that really matter in life.
Mm-hmm.
We're so conditioned to suffer and be triggered that everybody is being triggered by something.
Well, you know, what is the definition of trigger?
Well, I mean, my thought is that the definition of a trigger is similar to trauma, is when if someone says something or you see something. A lot of times triggers are stimulated by smell, by sound of a traumatic mm-hmm. event of the past, because those two senses bring us back to the past more readily than any other sense, than sight or sound.
Uh-huh.
So it's something that elicits a memory, a past memory of a trauma or a specific time. So like you could smell something and you're like, oh, that brings you back to when I was mm-hmm. 10 years old, my grandma's house.
Yeah.
It's a very distinct memory. So that's what triggers are. And oftentimes with trauma, triggers will bring up an unneeded emotion that was attached to that event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I learned that through one of my good friends, Dr. Don Wood, who has a program that he works with people specifically on trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Don Wood is a very seasoned neuropsychologist. And that's one of the things he was teaching. And also it's just kind of basic psychology of what the reason you have an emotion is for the body to either run, hide, fight, or freeze.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you can have good triggers too, you know, right? I know music triggers me all the time. When I hear a song, it brings me right back to a time. I mean, Junior, I know you too, Mo, you can relate to that. Mm-hmm. That's a good trigger, right? Or it can be a sad trigger. I mean, it just depends upon the song or the memory.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Like things can trigger a thought, a memory, an emotion that it brings you back. Like, oh man, that was awesome. That's what we need more of. Like, that's what we need to condition ourselves of. But the problem is, you know, like, and this started, man, look, I don't want to talk about politics or that stuff, but it all started really got prevalent during 2020, during COVID, mm-hmm. when the elections were happening and people were seeing the American flag. And you saw this, I think we talked about it. Like, people would see the American flag and they would just get triggered, quote, mm-hmm. by all these things and have like fear and all these unneeded emotions. Like, listen, you're making this up. You're safe. You know, I saw a video one time of a young lady in her car videoing a group of guys driving down the street with American flags in the back of her truck. And she was hysterically screaming and crying, saying that she was feeling assaulted. She was feeling afraid. She was mm-hmm. unsafe. And I mean, the guys were literally just driving down the street in their car.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know what to say about that. But yeah, I do agree with you. And the last couple of years have been tough on all of us, I think, for so many reasons. But Junior, do you have anything you want to add to this while we're sitting here chatting about this?
I mean, I agree with everything that's been said. I mean, I feel like it's just people look for a reason to get quote unquote triggered. Like I find it happening all the time. Like even when you go to concerts, like more people have their phones out. And I think they have their phones out because they're even there. They want to wait for somebody to do something wrong. Like I just think everybody is waiting for something to happen, and they it's like they want something bad to happen because they want to be able to post the content or something, or mm-hmm. they think it's going to get their followers up or whatever. And it's kind of ridiculous. Like you see it too at the bars. Like somebody might fall out of a seat or something, and everybody gets their camera out and takes a picture, and it's like, why don't you just help the guy up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know,
everything's
just, I feel like whether it's just for a like or if it's for a trigger or whatever, I just, it definitely has become more prevalent, I think, since 2020, like Mo was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The empathy for other human beings has decreased. And I said this, I made a post about this probably last month. It was, and this is true, there are two types of people. There are the people that when something goes down, whether it's in a bar, at a concert, or in the streets, there's the person that acts on it and helps. There's a person that gets out their phone to try to get popular.
Mm-hmm.
Which one are you?
Or like my dad used to say, there's two kinds of people in this world, those that are Italian and those that wish they were. On that laugh, we'll go to break. And we'll That's be awesome. Right back, everyone. I hope I didn't trigger you. All right, we'll be right back with Mo Brosette. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio, we talk a lot about nutrition. What if you had access to this information wherever and whenever you needed it? Welcome to the world of the Weston A. Price Foundation. At WestonAPrice.org, you open a door to a nutrient-dense traditional way of eating. Find local farms and buy food directly from the source, or get creative with thousands of nutrient-dense recipes, including a nutrient-packed infant formula. become a member and gain access to even more benefits like their quarterly journal, an annual shopping guide, informational brochures, member-only Q&As, and so much more. Support local farmers and traditional nutrient-dense foods. Become a member of the Weston A. Price Foundation today at WestonAPrice.org and use the code OLR at checkout for $10 off the $40 annual membership.
Celebrating 10 years on the air. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix and Mo Brossette, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We're talking about triggers and how to overcome them with Mo Brossette, Morris Brossette. He's been in the health and fitness industry for over 25 years, and he is the creator and director of the Mindset Program at the Adaptive Training Foundation, a Dallas-based nonprofit that leads critically injured military veterans and civilians through a 9-week mental and physical training program called Redefine. And it's always great to have him with us. He's also the founder of Hunt and Prosper, a leadership and self-development company that teaches clients and executive teams to go after what they want with a great sense of self-awareness and self-confidence. You can find Mo Brossette at hunt-prosper.com or on Instagram at hunt_prosper. Okay, so triggers and how to overcome them. The words trigger and triggering seem to be like trending. We talked about this a little bit at the opening. Kind of already answered this question, but do you think they're being overused?
100%. They absolutely are. It's a, and listen, triggers, I say this in two ways. I understand that people can get triggered by a past trauma or something that happened significantly in their life.
Right.
That is factual. You know, that's natural. Now we can work with and through that and overcome those triggers so that the emotional attachment is no longer associated with that memory. However, the triggers that we need to address are the ones that aren't attached with some sort of significant past trauma. It's the one where you see something and then that offends you.
Yeah.
You're choosing to let something get into your space. And those mm-hmm. are the ones that we really need to address and work on because mm-hmm. it's really a choice. I mean, look, over the last, month or two or three, comedians have been talking a lot on social and other places like, man, their jobs are terrible right now because you can't even tell a joke anymore because mm-mm. people get so dang offended and triggered by something that we've been laughing at for decades mm-hmm. because it's a joke.
Well, it's not a joke, Mo.
it is. And that's the thing. Like, I can joke around with my friends. I can joke around with you. But some people, like they it's like Junior said, they go out and they look for ways to be offended and triggered on a daily basis.
It's my youngest daughter and I go at it quite often about this topic, you know, because I like to do voices. I always have. A lot of comedians do. I'm not saying I'm a comedian, but I am pretty funny at times and I love doing voices. I always have. And I can't do them anymore, at least not around her, because if I do it or something funny like that would happen in a restaurant and I'll do somebody's voice, you know, and she's like, you can't do that. I'm like, why not? She goes, because it's wrong. Why is it wrong? Because it's always been wrong, Mom. And you just never been told that it's wrong. I'm like, oh, okay. You know,
yeah.
And so I don't know if you've ever experienced anything like that yourself personally, Mo or Junior, have you? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Go for it, Junior. Go ahead.
I know what you're saying. And I look at it as like, I don't know, some people like, for me, like being half Jewish, right? Like I can listen to a Jewish joke and I can take it for the fact that it's a joke. I don't get offended by that. And so, but there are people that do. So I think like just with the way the world is now, you just kind of like, and I think comedians are facing it too. You just kind of, it's kind of got to be where your environment is, you know? And I mean, not everybody is like me that can tell if a person's joking or not. And you know, and I honestly, I just don't get offended by a lot of things, you know, it's hard. I just don't, but there are people that are, and I think it is hypersensitive right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I even feel like even with me, and I mean, comedy is a big thing. I'm like you, I don't call myself a comedian, but in radio, you know, we tend to think that we are funny and you got to scale yourself back sometimes, you know, and it's just the way the world is. And I don't really agree with it. I mean, I think like, I do think that the whole world has become way too sensitive to certain things. but that's me. And I feel like, you know, I'm not trying to offend anybody. So I just kind of watch what I say around people because, you know, I don't want to offend anybody. That's not what I'm trying to do.
So. You know what? But I don't know about you, but when something is rings true about myself or my culture or whatever, or my ethnicity, it makes me laugh out loud because it's funny. And sometimes we need that to look at ourselves and keep ourselves. I mean, people make Italian. I think Italian jokes are hysterical.
I agree.
And I'm half Italian. My father, I adored him. He's Italian. My mother's Irish. Somebody make a joke like, oh, yeah, those Irish sure know how to drink. Yeah, they sure do. You know, or, you know, Tony, have an egg or where's your gold chain or whatever. I never take offense to it. I think it's hysterical. I really do. I wish I could think of a good Jewish joke right now. There's one with reservations and Jewish women, but I can't think of what it is. What are the things that like Jewish women make the most? Reservations or something like that. You know? I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying that, but you know what I'm saying?
I won't complain. So you should be okay.
But people are just way too sensitive. They are. But you know, I don't know. I just think we need to laugh at ourselves. Am I wrong about that?
No, not at all. You don't need. We need to reintroduce a sense of humor and a little bit of levity into our days and our lives. And I feel like we're in such a volatile place right now. You know, and everyone's talking about all the different things, but what no one is really talking about is mental health. And the reason that mental health problems are so prevalent right now is because we are in this hypersensitive state of being.
Yeah.
You know, we wake up in this high beta brainwave state. Our sympathetic nervous system is turned on from the second we wake up. Because we wake up, we get on Instagram, we get on Snapchat or whatever it is, and we look for things that trigger us. Because it's a dopamine hit. Whether you like to admit it or not, that's what we do. Mm-hmm. When we do that, then we start to gossip. Then we get into arguments online. Then we go into our day. And then it just perpetuates. And then you know, we wonder why teen suicide and why suicide in general is so high right now. It's, you know, it's not because of the weapons that are in our hands. It's because of the mental state that we're in, because people are we're being conditioned to be so sensitive to everything that's going on and to take personal offense to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like find a way for this to be offended by this. And that's where we are, you know, and I talk about this through the lens of our adaptive athletes, not so much the triggers, but the trauma specifically, and sometimes the triggers that we get to work with at Adaptive Training Foundation. And, you know, from the time someone comes in our doors, whether they're rolled in a wheelchair, they're walking in on crutches, they're missing both legs, one leg, you know, both legs in one arm, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We don't treat them special. We don't treat them like any other person or like they're unlike any other person, you know, because if we do, then they're going to, that mentality is going to be exacerbated. And again, I learned this through my time with Dr. Wood and through other teachers as well, is that you have to be empathetic to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, like, and you know, in the notes I gave you, one of the examples I gave was one of our athletes, Devon, former Army, his injury was non-military related. He was actually driving his motorcycle into the motorcycle shop, and his wife was behind him. It malfunctioned. It locked up and started tumbling end over end. It was one of those trikes with two wheels in the back, one in the front. Devon wasn't wearing a helmet. So he had severe brain trauma, and he comes in, and I look at him, and his legs are solid. Like most people, a lot of people that are spinal cord injuries or have brain trauma, that, you know, the doctors say you'll never walk again, there's a lot of atrophy in the leg. And, you know, I can, especially from being in this field for so long, I can look at someone's muscle and their leg specifically and go, oh, yeah, you can walk. At some point, you'll walk. Mm-hmm. And Devon's telling me his story, and he's sharing with me, I have end over end, had severe brain trauma, spinal cord injury, et cetera. And the doctor said, I'll never walk again. So here I am. And I looked at him, and I said, Devon. And I showed him I said, can you do this with your leg? And I picked my knee up and extended my leg. And he said, yeah, just show me. And he did it. And I said, can you do it with the other leg? He did it. I said, hey, can you stand up at all? Like, can you just stand up out of that chair? Yeah, I can stand. I promise you, you'll walk by the time 9 weeks is over. And he looked at me, kind of looked back, and he was like, you really think so? I said, brother, I don't think anything. I promise you, you will walk again.
Wow.
2 weeks into our program, he's starting to take his first steps.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the program, he was walking. 11 weeks after he came through our program, he sends us a video of him pushing his wife in his wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. Because if we were empathetic, if we were sympathetic of Devon and like, oh, brother, how are you doing it, man? I'm so sorry this happened to you. You're so strong. You're so brave. He would never walk again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it creates weakness. You can create weakness in the body and the mind. They're connected, you know.
We have to be more resilient. You know, and one of our other stories, one of our other athletes, Val, she comes in. She's in a wheelchair, missing one of her legs. And again, it's very matter of fact. If you came in, Bernadette, I'm like, hey, tell me your story. What happened to you? Just matter of fact. And Val goes, well, crazy story. She went through the whole thing. Basically, and it ended up being a dog, 130-pound Rottweiler, ate her foot off.
Oh, jeez.
She tells me this, and I look at her, and my response was, are you serious? She said, yeah. I went, congratulations. That's the coolest amputee story I've heard yet. And she looked at me. She kind of like was taken aback, and her eyes got real big. And I was like, I mean, I've heard some crazy things, but that's probably the coolest one. So what are you doing about it now? And she looked at me. She said, what do you mean? Are you working out? Are you training? How are you progressing? And what it did was it took down the severity of what happened for a little bit. And she saw herself as a whole person, not as a victim of this incident.
Yeah. I can, you articulated that well, and what she was feeling, what you were feeling. And it does make sense. And but you do have to have a certain amount of sympathy or empathy when someone is, you know, fallen victim, for lack of a better word, of such a, you know, such an awful thing that happened with the dog. I mean, but you're right, though, because if you continue to go, oh, my God, you poor thing. Oh, my gosh. You know, instead of trying to, I don't know, massage it, if you will, you know, the situation into something that, I don't know what I'm even trying to say here. That's a tough one. That is just a really tough thing to go through.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, for us, you know, we have a great benefit of seeing this on a regular basis. So and it's not like we're numb to it at all. It's not like we're not emotionless. We're not heartless. Man, we cry often, especially when people do great things. I mean, one of our guys the other day, you know, had an accident. He's in a wheelchair. And he walked 80 feet across the turf for the first time. Now he used some wooden dowels, some sticks. Then he used my hands. Then the last few feet, he took 4 steps on his own for the first time. And I mean, you know, there are tears all over the place, which is awesome. And I was recanting that story a little bit later, and I couldn't keep myself together. It was so emotional. And it's fine to do those things. Like, obviously, you want to celebrate those wins. But even in my language, in our language at Adaptive Training Foundation, when we talk about what we do and who we serve, we do not say we serve military veterans and civilians that have been victims or suffered traumatic injuries. We work with individuals that have experienced a traumatic incident. Mm-hmm. See the difference?
Yeah.
They're not a victim. They didn't suffer anything. They experienced a traumatic event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you know, my mind keeps going back to, you know, when I was a kid, I had a very severely mentally ill brother. Most people that listen to the show regularly are well aware. But it was very traumatic. I saw a lot of stuff as a kid. And people go, how do you get through that? How'd you get through that? You know, you get through it. My mother had a great sense of humor. She never pampered or babied my brother, you know, because of it. She tried to, and my father, he was a little more, you know, what do I want to say? I don't know. I'm trying to be very careful with what I say because I don't want to offend anyone. I don't want to trigger anyone. But you can experience mental trauma too, as well as physical trauma. They're different, but they're the same. I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but it made me stronger.
Yeah.
It made me tougher having to go through that, having to witness it and not watch my parents, especially my mother. She was very strong about it. And so I got a good example of not pampering him. Do you know what I'm saying? Because of it?
Right.
But holding him still accountable, even with his severe mental illness, when he acted badly, my mother held him accountable for it. And I think that's the best way to handle mental illness based on what I've seen. What do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's to a degree, you know, you have to manage it with a person. But people still have to be held accountable. Otherwise we become conditioned to receive, empathy, praise, sympathy, or whatever it is that we're trying to get from those situations. So there have to be consequences of those things. And speaking of where we are in our society today, the issue is there are no consequences to these things. So I could say that you did something to me that triggered me, then I could act in, I could retaliate in violence or some aggressive way. And like, oh, well, I was triggered.
Mm-hmm.
And well, because I was emotionally charged, I'm given an opportunity to get away with that.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to work on. You know, one of my other mentors, you know, this is a work in progress for everyone, especially me, but his whole thing is like, I'm unoffendable because I know my worth. I know who I am. I know I've worked through all of my stuff, and whatever you say to me, I realize is not to me or about me. It's really about you, as spoken in the four agreements. That's not where he got this from, but he's true. Mm-hmm. You know, you can say anything to this man. He'll just look at you and be like, okay, I mean, if that's how you feel, that's unfortunate for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what a great way to be, because I'm not taking that on.
Right.
Like, you can call me whatever you want to call me. You can say to me whatever you want to say to me. And I know it's coming. It's really not about me. It's about you. Like, that's usually coming from
you.
A broken person. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And if it's something where someone isn't coming, if someone isn't speaking directly to or at you, and you're choosing to see something going, mm-hmm. oh, this is offensive to me. Why is it offensive to you?
Mm-hmm.
Really ask yourself those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Is it really impacting your day that much? Is
it
impacting your life that much? Could you see it from another person's perspective? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, when we were speaking earlier and I was talking about my brother and my father and mother, what I was trying to say and the thought came to me, because it's very emotional, you know, when I think about those times, what I was thinking about is the time that that my brother actually I witnessed my brother try to kill my mother and father, and it was very violent. He was taken away in a straitjacket. The knife came through the kitchen, the dining room door. My Aunt Clara, people that have listened to me for years have heard this story before, but what I was trying to say is my father enabled him by babying him and making him weaker instead of holding him accountable for his actions, whether he was mentally ill or not. Do you know what I'm saying? Because when he came out of that episode, if you will, he needed to understand that's not okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And that's, absolutely. Yeah. And again, like, if someone that has a legitimate mental illness, that can be a little bit more challenging.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The problem is, especially nowadays, and ironically, I was talking with someone about this morning, is that there aren't any consequences and there isn't any empathy. You know, and we want to speak and act like everyone should be sensitive to our needs, but then in rebuttal, we are the most weakest. Now, I say we is not me, but the people that do this are very violent in their words and their actions.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. Like, all the people, like, I can't, like, the people that said, I wish all unvaccinated people would die.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you say something like that? Like, that's
right.
I'm not vaccinated. I never will be. Why would you say that? Like, you don't know me. You're saying something. You're triggered by an emotion. You're triggered by an event, and you're trying to be so self-righteous and correct that mm-hmm. you're wishing death on another human being.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Like, with your brother, there were no consequences. He was enabled.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, what's happening right now in society is people are being enabled to be triggered
mm-hmm.
and to be traumatized.
Yeah.
So, you know, now people are getting PTS, quote unquote, from things that, honestly, that's not a traumatic event. You're creating that because
mm-hmm.
you've been enabled to be triggered and taught to be a victim. And, man, you might not like hearing that. And if that's the case, I want you to take a good hard look in the mirror, because I'm correct.
Mm-hmm. You are. And we're going to go to break. We'll be right back. More coming up with Mo Brossette. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
OneLifeRadio.com.
Miss a day? Miss a lot. Subscribe to the Defender newsletter at childrenshealthdefense.org to stay on top of the news that matters to you. And tune in every Monday for updates on the Defender's most read news of the week with Mary Holland, president of Children's Health Defense. For the stories you don't want to miss, go to childrenshealthdefense.org and sign up for the Defender newsletter today.
We're back. More of One Life Radio starts now.
All right, everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix and Mo Brossette, continuing our live broadcast from iHeartMedia here in Dallas, Texas, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. And we've been playing Prince songs all during the show because Junior let us know this morning it's Prince's birthday.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. How old would he have been,
Junior? Oh, so let's see. He was born in 58, so I don't know.
Was he?
Don't want to do the math. Let's see. That'd be... I don't know. He would have been like in his 60s, I guess.
In his 60s, yeah. Wow. Well, you know, my favorite Prince song is When Doves Cry, and it reminds me, it triggers me, if you will. It reminds me of my nephew, Richard, who passed away at the age of 34 years old. That was one of his favorite songs when he was a kid, and we used to listen to it together. And so, yeah. But so, you know, we're talking about
64.
He would have been 64. Mm. Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, and music does trigger a lot. A lot of things trigger people. And that's what we're talking about today with Mo Brossette, triggers and how to overcome them. So, Mo, how do you know when your past trauma and triggers are controlling you?
Great question. You know when your past traumas are controlling you when there's still an emotional attachment to it. So remember that the reason you have an emotion is to elicit a response for either, again, fight, flight, or freeze. So if it's something from your past where when that memory comes up, the emotional attachment is still connected to it, and that disables you from going through life events, from going to work, from having social time, from having relationships, from being able to do anything in your day, that's when you know it's still having an effect. Mm-hmm. And because the brain, and we've talked about this on the show before, you know, when you have a memory, your brain doesn't recognize the difference between a memory, a visual, a thought, and reality. So when you think about it, you have a trigger, and it brings back that time where something bad happened. Your brain literally thinks it's happening right now in real time. So all the emotion comes back, all the sensation comes back, because your brain doesn't recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know. And so what you do is there's a process where you can detach emotion from the memory. And that's where, you know, Dr. Wood's program from the Inspired Performance Institute does a phenomenal job at helping people correct that.
Wow. Yeah, because, I mean, people can get really violent when they're triggered. That's how a lot of Absolutely. These things, right? That's how these school shootings are happening, and all the violence all over the world. I mean, it's they're being triggered by whatever, but they can become very violent, and that's what makes it so scary when someone cannot control their emotions or their triggers. Agreed?
Right. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And it's about disassociating that, and recognizing that you are in a safe space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some processes, there are some ways you can go about doing that. I mean, you know, there's one, and I use this with our adaptive athletes, and I may have told this story before, but I'll tell it again because it's relevant. One of our athletes, her name's Crystal, she was a Dallas police officer, still active duty. Several years ago, her and her partner responded to a guy with a gun. The guy shot her partner, killed him, shot Crystal in the head, blinded her in her left eye, deaf in her left ear. And she came through our program. She was traumatized, obviously, from that incident.
Mm.
Now, on her way to the gym every day, she drove past the prison where this man was being housed until his trial later that year. So she was having flashbacks and triggers on a daily basis when she drove past, understandably so. Not very good when you're driving up the tollway in Dallas.
No.
So the process that we used was you recognize the trigger, and before she would go into an anxiety attack, or this is anyone can do this as well, you start to breathe, and then you look for five things around your space, five things around you, and you say them out loud to yourself. Like for me, there's an orange cone, there's a green tree, there's a red car, there's a yellow school sign, there's a blue hood on my truck. What are four things you can feel? I can feel my thumb and my fingers. I can feel my shorts. I can feel my shirt. I can feel the console of my truck. What are three things that you can hear? Maybe, you know, if you're inside, so you think about three things you can hear. What are two things that you can smell, or just pay attention to your breath, the air coming in your nose and out of your nose? And then you take one big breath, and in that span of time, from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you're now in the present moment right now where you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
she was able to do that and take her out of a panic attack and anxiety attack. And we've done that over and over and over again with people that have experienced significant traumas.
Yeah, that's significant.
And my point in sharing that is, if someone can do that, if Crystal can do that mm-hmm. with being shot in the head, if Val can do that with being shot by her ex-husband and having a dog eating her leg off. If my other friends can do that, who've been blown up by IEDs or traumatic events in service in country, we can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How important is gratitude in healing from trauma and triggers?
Oh man, it's critical. You know, because, and again, this is something that we tell our athletes at ATF is, you might not realize it yet, but this happened for you because you're about to discover how strong you truly are now, because you've never been tested the way that you're being tested right now.
Yeah.
And you can find gratitude in a traumatic event. And listen, I'm not saying that, you know, if someone kills your family or there's death in the, you know, whatever,
yeah,
there can be gratitude for your life. There can be gratitude for an opportunity to remember, gratitude for an opportunity to heal. But when you can find gratitude and creation and opportunity in your day, that will start to override the negative emotion of trigger trauma,
yeah,
et cetera.
How important is it to face disappointment in life, Mo?
We have to face disappointment. And that's one of the things as well, is we've almost been conditioned to, you know, especially men, to compartmentalize it, to push it down, to ignore it, to, you know, distract yourself with other things. Well, there's a great book called The Body Keeps the Score. It talks about it in there. When we have a trauma, when we have a negative emotion or feeling, if we do not address it, it is going to manifest in some way, shape, or form. It's going to come out in an outburst. It's going to come out in rage and anger. It can also manifest in our bodies into disease. So we as a society are really not good at feeling our feelings. We're really good at distracting ourselves from our feelings, but we have to go through the cycle of disappointment, of pain, of fear, of anger. Like, all these emotions are fine.
Yeah.
And you should allow yourself to have them, but allow yourself to have them for just a few moments.
Right. Or a few days or weeks. You know, that's how addiction starts, right? By trying to, you know, to lessen the trauma or walk away from it, try to forget about it. Next thing you know, you're doing it daily. It becomes an addiction. And so you're never really getting at the root of what's really wrong, so you can face it and talk about it and get past it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's actually a really great book I'm listening to right now. And it's called 90 Seconds to the Life You Love. And it's written by a PhD. I can't remember his name at the top of my head, but the book is called 90 Seconds to the Life You Love. And essentially what it talks about is that when you have an experience, when you're having an emotion, that emotion will last in your brain for about 90 seconds. So if you can go into it, lean into it, and ride it out and allow it to happen, it will take itself out. You have the choice to either hold on to it and continue that process for the day, the week, the whatever, or you can allow yourself to go into it and know that neurologically, psychologically, this is going to last for 90 seconds.
Well,
lean into it.
Yeah. Well, in the four agreements, we talked about that earlier. You and I have talked about it many times on the air, really not taking something personal that somebody says or does, because it's not about you. It's about them. People that are hurting want to hurt other people, right? Or people that are scared want to scare others. But you really have to get into a mindset where you don't take things personal that other people say or do, right?
Correct. Yeah, that's the key to all of this.
Key.
That's one of the really big reasons I wanted to talk about this today is don't take it personal, man.
Yeah.
Because if you choose not to, you won't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're probably going to. And that's where you get to check yourself and say, hey, this isn't about me.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and gosh, I was talking with someone the other day. I talk about it often, how crazy drivers have been. You know, I'm sure it's all over the country. I can only speak on Dallas right now. I haven't been anywhere in a while. But my gosh, you see so many crazy drivers who just think it's okay to just, you know, take their rage out on everybody else. It's just not okay to do that. And we do need to hold those people accountable. How you do it a little, how the police can do a better job with it, I don't know. But I notice it more and more every single day. Just no regard for other people, the way people are driving so poorly here in Dallas.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
You know, I did. I actually saw that on Saturday evening coming home. You know, we moved up to Lake Dallas, and so it's not as prevalent up there.
Mm-hmm.
But Kirsten and I were driving home, and on both 75 and 635 here in Dallas. Man, mm-hmm. it was crazy the way people were driving so aggressively.
Just
and
nuts.
Angry. And we were both like, what is going on right now?
Yeah, yeah.
And in that situation, and here's what, and like, listen to me, everyone. If that happens to you, do not react to those people. Let them go. Like, just let people go. Because the way people are working right now, that can end violently really quickly. So you just have to just man, get out of the way, let people go. And you never, and also we don't know what's going on in their head. We don't know what's going on in their life. It could be something significant. And, you know, if you take offense to it and you take it personal, when it's not about you, they could be trying to get somewhere. And I got to do this, man, last year. I had to go rescue one of my friends that was in a real bad place. And I had to haul ass up from downtown Dallas to Denton. And I was driving like a bat out of hell to get to him to save his life.
Yeah.
And so
safely,
I was that
hope.
Guy. Yeah. Well, no, I was probably going 110, but I had to get there. You know, like there was no option. That was it. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I was trying to use my blinker and I got in the express lane, but I was driving like a maniac, but I was like, then please give me some empathy here because I'm not trying to do it, but you never know. That's my point.
Yeah. You never know if somebody,
and people, that's one of the big things. People get so triggered by traffic.
Yeah.
Don't,
yeah, they
man.
Do.
Like you don't know, just let people do their thing. If you just, get into the car with the mindset of, hey, I'm just one of the people on the road today. I don't own it. I'm going to drive, and if somebody's just past me, if they cut me off, I choose to think that they didn't see me and or they're doing something really important. And I'm just going to let them go.
Yeah.
And that's a choice.
We need to get you a siren to put on top or a little flashy light. in your car. I'm looking at the clock. We should have gone to break sooner, but we're going to break now. So stay tuned. More coming up with Mo Brosset. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Centuries before scientists identified the incredible nutritive value of beef liver, our ancestors naturally revered it for the energy and vitality it provides. But most people today find liver's health benefits much more appealing than its flavor. That's why our partner Enviromedica offers a superior New Zealand grass-fed beef liver supplement. All the complex benefits of this ancient powerhouse superfood in modern, easy-to-swallow capsule form. Find out how to rewild yourself for optimum health at Enviromedica.com. That's Enviromedica.com.
A decade of educating and learning. You're listening to One Life Radio.
All right, everyone. Happy birthday, friends. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix and Mo Brosset, continuing our live broadcast from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We're talking about triggers and how to overcome them. So, you know, you said this earlier, and I think that people need to understand this. We've talked about it actually twice so far in the broadcast, but how is being offended by another person a choice, Mo?
Yeah, it's whether or not you choose to allow those words to affect you. That's basically what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you say something to me, I know it's not about me. Even if you're speaking directly to me, you can say, you know, whatever. And it's my choice to get offended by that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have to. I can let it go. I can say, hey, that's kind of rude. Why would you say that?
Old,
I can ask you a question, but I'm not going to, I'm still not, I know my worth. And that's where the choice comes in.
Right.
If you are confident in yourself, if you know who you are, if you know your worth, you're not going to be as easily offended and you're not looking for it. You're not going to be as easily triggered because you're not looking to be triggered.
Right. And sometimes people, well, sticks and don'ts, what's that, the old expression, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me. I mean, that's a really old expression, but it's true. It's kind of like, that's the four agreements, right? Don't take things personally. But, you know, what do you say to someone who says that they are being triggered by you or your surroundings?
Okay. I mean, what am I doing specifically to trigger you, and how's that affecting you?
Mm-hmm.
And understand that what I'm saying isn't directed at you. It's not directed to you or towards you. I'm saying something in general. You're choosing to take it personal and take offense to it. And oftentimes that doesn't turn out well because people don't want to hear that. mm-hmm. because then they're accusing you of something. So it's just like it's a cycle.
Right. It's a projection.
But, you know. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So, but there has to be, you have to be able to go, hey, wait, did you mean this a certain way?
Mm-hmm.
No. Here's what I said, and here's what I meant. Oh, okay, got it. It's that easy. It literally is that easy. You know? But
yeah.
Again, we're so conditioned to it. I mean, I saw a video a couple weeks ago. The lady, there was a statue somewhere, and it was on a trailhead out, I think, somewhere in California somewhere. And it was, I don't know what it was, but she was making a video like, look at how offensive this is. I am so offended by this statue. How could somebody put this up here? And I looked at it and I thought, I mean, okay, I could see where you don't like it, but did you ask the artist what their message behind it was? Like, she sees offense and disgust. The artist that painted that made that sculpture might say, no, this is collaboration, this is creation, this is unity, this mm-hmm. is bonding. But we don't see that. We look at something and go, oh, I see it as this, so therefore it must mean this.
Yeah. Well, we've only got like a minute or two, but how can we eliminate triggers and truly take control of our emotions? Mo, for anyone out there listening who truly gets triggered, you know, frequently.
Understand that it's honestly your choice. You know, do some deep reflection. Understand who you are. Recognize that people aren't doing it to you. Mm-hmm. That is your choice to accept that. So stop accepting it. Mm-hmm. Recognize that people are people. They're going to say things. And sometimes they're out of humor. Sometimes they might be different than your opinion, which is okay too. That's the beautiful part about human beings. We're all unique, just like snowflakes. So if you start to get triggered, you start to get offended, ask a clarifying question. And if the response is, oh, that's not what I meant, accept it, move on with your day.
When you said snowflake just now, I'm thinking, wasn't that a word that triggered a lot of people when you say, oh, they're a snowflake? You know what I'm talking about? Or Junior, do you know what
yes,
I mean?
Probably. Yep.
It's like, oh my God, you triggered me. I'm not a snowflake.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh, what a crazy show. Oh boy. All right. Well, you know what, Mo? Always good to talk with you. And I'm so glad we talked about triggers and how to overcome them. Hopefully we help somebody out there listening today. Thank you so much. And you take care. We'll talk to you soon. Okay.
I think he hung up quickly.
I think he hung up. Oh, boy. I must have triggered him.
Yeah, no. Maybe.
All right, Junior. Thanks so much for the great music and remembering Prince is a great artist that
yes.
he is. And everybody listen to some good music today because you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there and rock it.
Woo! Hey. Woo! Only get one life.